Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
And I think when you look at these people that are putting, you know, out there, hey, we need this expensive stuff. Hey, you know, following Jesus, it's all about what you can get from him. They're putting the wrong things first. They're going and they're putting second things first. They're saying, you know what I get out of stuff is more important than the main thing. You know, we're out there and we want to, sure, we want people to come to know Jesus, but if they come to know Jesus, it's not about the forgiveness they receive, it's about the stuff they can get. And this muddies the waters. And we see here as people are turned off from the good news of Jesus for the simple fact that they look at the hypocrisy, they look at people that aren't putting first things first, and they wonder, what is Christian faith really? But let me tell you, it's really easy to look at guys like Duplantis and go, wow, shame on him, right? Like he's got some problems. But if you really search your own motivations, if you really search the way that you live your life at times, you'll begin to recognize a little bit of that same thing, taking second things or third things and putting them in the place of the first thing, of the main thing. You know, as Christians, we're oftentimes all about, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of life? What can Jesus give me? And what we forget about is the fact that Jesus has already given us all that we need. He's already given everything to us. We already have his gift of life through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. We already have forgiveness. We're already adopted as children of God if we believe in Jesus and follow him. And he's already given us his Holy Spirit and has already offered to give us fullness in the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit. And yet, here we go and we run around in life and we say, what else can I get from Jesus? What can he give me? And we forget that as followers of Jesus, we are called first and foremost to love and follow Jesus. And that secondly, we're to love and serve and share Jesus with the world, with our neighbors. These two things, these are the first things of Christian faith. These are the things that need to be at the forefront of our thinking, the forefront of what we do in life. The problem is that we're not always doing this, are we? The problem is that as we go into situations, we don't think of, oh, wow, I just need to worship God in this moment because of how amazing this is. We go, no, I want to get as much out of this moment as I can. You know, or we skip over opportunities to worship and to praise God. Or we skip over opportunities to love others because to love others might mean that we have to deny ourselves. And the issue is that this is dangerous. It's disastrous. It's dangerous for our faith because as we continually put ourselves before Christ, we do something called idolatry. See, idolatry, it's not just about making these weird little images and bowing down to them. Idolatry is about putting anything before Christ or alongside Christ. Another word for idolatry is actually adultery. The Bible makes it very clear that when we follow Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. When you say wedding vows to a spouse, the wedding vows don't include, you know what, I'm gonna be faithful to you except when I feel like being faithful to someone else. Because to do that would be called idolatry. In the Christian faith, they're interchangeable, really, when it comes to us and God, to ourselves. We need to follow Christ wholeheartedly. This is also disastrous because people like my friend on Facebook there, they look at the church, they look at Christians as we live in this way, as we live for ourselves instead of for Christ, as we put second and third and fourth things above the first thing. And they just shake their heads and they say, I'm done with it all. Who needs these people? They obviously don't believe what they say they believe because their lives don't reflect it. They're not excited about Jesus except when Jesus gives them something. They're not loving towards me, except when they think I can give them something. This is a dangerous and disastrous place to be because we are being disobedient. And oftentimes we're being disobedient out of our fear and out of our desire for ourselves in these moments. If you're here or you're watching online and you're someone who maybe you've been hurt by the church in the past, or you're not going to church anymore, or maybe you don't even follow Jesus, you probably resonate with some of the stuff that we've been talking about. You're probably like, yeah, I've met these people. This is the reason why it's taken me this long to even just tune into a message. Or I'm just trying to figure this stuff out because I hear what Christians say, but then I see the way that so many of them act and it doesn't make sense to me. And on behalf of all the church, of all Christians, I want to give you my most sincere apologies for the impression that you've been given of what it is to follow Jesus, of what a Christ follower is, because you need to know that Christ followers aren't supposed to be people who put themselves first. They're not supposed to be people that just are out to get what they can out of life, but they're people that are meant to be generous and loving and kind, sharing hope with the world. And today, as we dig into God's word, as we dig into the Bible today, I hope that all of us will begin to gain a greater understanding of how we as Christians are meant to be in this world. And just before we do that, I think that it's fitting that we open in prayer. So will you all bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let's pray just a moment here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that we can go to Scripture and that we can learn about who it is that you have made us to be. That we can be pushed out of our comfort zones, Lord God. And today, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness for the ways that we have been disobedient towards you, for the ways that we have allowed our own ignorance or our own arrogance and pride and all these things, our selfishness, to come in the way of what is supposed to be first in our lives and to come in the way of being obedient to you. Today, Lord Jesus, as we hear the words that are about to be spoken, I ask that you will do your work in us, God, that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For those of you that are just joining us here today, I just want to let you know that we are in a series called Advance, From the Upper Room to the Uttermost. This is the second week of this series this year. Basically, what we've been doing is we're around Pentecost season, which is around this time of year. We've been taking a few weeks and making our way through the book of Acts. So this is the third year that we're doing this. So let me catch you up a little bit if you don't know what's going on. What we see in the book of Acts, which was written by the historian Luke, is that we pick up with Jesus just after he's been raised from the dead. He's hung out with the disciples for a while to tell them a little bit more stuff about himself. And then he says, hey, I've got to go to heaven now. I've got to go to my Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to comfort you, and to bring you power for ministry as you go out into the world. And so wait for me. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send him. And so these disciples, 120 of them, they end up in the upper room, some people say of the temple or wherever it was. I don't know. But they're in the upper room, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit comes on them. They begin to speak in languages that they have never learned before, telling of the glorious acts of God. And so all these people, they rush to the upper room going, what on earth is going on? Why is it so loud up here? And then they began to realize, some of them, hey, I'm from this faraway place, and they're speaking in my native language. And someone else, well, they're speaking in my language. And other people, they just said, well, they're drunk. And so Peter gets up. The Apostle Peter, if you're not familiar with him, he kind of bounced wildly between being completely impulsive and being a complete coward. And here, filled with the Holy Spirit, he stands up and gives a prophetic message from God, and 3,000 people are saved. They come to Jesus. It's a marvelous thing. And then from this point here, we see these people who are full of the Holy Spirit of God go out into the world to accomplish the mission that God has given them, to let people know who he is and what he's done for them, who it is that he's made them to be. Last week, we talked about Peter going to Cornelius's house, and we learned that God doesn't play favorites. And so you might look at someone, you might say, they're too far gone. There's no way that they could ever come to Jesus, so I'm just going to leave them alone. And we learned last week that no, you have to invest in them just like you'd invest in anyone else, because God loves them just as much as he loves you. And he doesn't play favorites. Today we come to Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. If you've got your Bible here with you and you'd like to follow along on that, you can go ahead and turn there now. If you've got a mobile device with you that's internet connected and you'd like to follow along with this message, just go onto your internet browser there, type in ascc.life and tap the message notes tile. You'll be able to follow along with us and read the passage that we're doing along with us, as well as we'll have it on the screen behind me. So that's Acts chapter 11, verse 19. This is what we read. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church of Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. And he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. I think the first thing that I want to look at in this passage here is that you've got all these Christians, they've been displaced from their homes, right? They're being persecuted. They've run the risk of imprisonment. They've run the risk of death. They're in a foreign land. And yet you see that where they've gone to this foreign place, and yet everywhere they go, they share Jesus. Everywhere they go. They don't go, you know what, I got to absorb into the culture first. I got to make some friends and then I can share Jesus. They don't say, you know what, well, that's not my gifting, so I'm going to leave it to them to share Jesus. We see time and time again in the book of Acts that everywhere that the Christians went, they told people about Jesus. They'd been so impacted by him, they were willing to give it all up for him. And so everywhere they went, they shared Jesus with the world. The other thing that we see is that at first they're going out and they're only sharing Jesus with the Jews. And this makes sense to some extent. From what I've read, it seems that the Jewish Christians, they kind of believed that Jesus was for the Jews. You know, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the one that they'd been waiting for so long. And so because of that, Christianity was just this kind of offshoot of Judaism. But over time, God began to make clear that this was something that, while growing out of Judaism, while it was the same God that the Jews served, that this was something that was open for all. And so we read last week about God not playing favorites as he came upon the Gentiles. And today, again, we see that the Holy Spirit leads people who are out and about to go and share Jesus with the Gentiles. Being people that were not Jews, they were not participants in the Jewish faith, and in fact, the Jews tended to look down on the Gentiles because of their way of living. What's interesting is that we see here they end up in Antioch of Syria. Antioch is the third largest city, the third most important city in Rome, in the Roman Empire. You'll see where it is here. You got Syria here, and then you have that red line and the blue line where they meet. That's Antioch. Now, Antioch was a place of rampant sin. You know, you could go places, and they had places where people could do all manners of things. If you had an appetite for some kind of act, some kind of lewd thing. There's children in the room today, and so I'm trying to be very discreet while describing a very immoral place. But you get the picture. If you wanted to do something to make yourself feel good inside, you could find a place easily to do this. It was out in the open. People were serving other gods. They were serving themselves. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. It was a place that, in fact, was so immoral that the Roman Empire's own philosophers would actually refer to Antioch colloquially to talk about how immoral something was. They'd talk about Antioch itself, talking about this place that was just grotesque. And so you can imagine these Jewish Christians coming from the way that they've been raised with the law of God, the Old Testament, knowing the way that God wants people to live and the moral standard that he has, and then having this truth of Jesus on their hearts. They go into a place like Antioch, and you can just imagine them thinking at first, like, we just need to leave. Like, this is just a stopover place on our way out of here, because these people are messed up. But I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them, no, you need to talk to these people. And we see that they are faithful in that, and that they share Jesus with the people of Antioch, and people begin to come to Jesus. What's interesting is had they just moved on, had they said, you know what, Antioch is just too far gone, they would have missed out on some great things that ended up happening. Antioch became a huge base of early Christianity, where Paul and Barnabas, great missionaries of the faith, they ended up basing themselves for quite a while out of the church of Antioch, and Antioch became a great missionary sending church. You see, so the Christians, they come into Antioch, this immoral place, and then all of a sudden we see a church birthed that makes an impact around the world. And that's because, friends, Jesus changes everything. Like, if you go into a situation and you say there's just no way that there's any hope for these people, they're just too far gone, you need to remember that Jesus changes everything. And if he can change the people of Antioch, then he can change your aunt or your uncle or your friend or your neighbor or your coworker, and he can change you. Because Jesus changes everything. And so what we find from this, the big challenge that I get from this, is that for the Christ follower, sharing your faith isn't optional. We like to act like it is, right? Like, we like to go around and say, well, I am not an evangelist, and therefore I will leave it to the evangelist to tell people about Jesus. Or we go around and we say, well, you don't understand, I'm really shy. And so I can't bring myself to talk about Jesus. Or you don't understand, like, I really just get nervous in front of people, and so I can't share Jesus. Or it's uncomfortable. We make all these excuses, and we try to say, well, you know, it's important, but it's not for me. But for the Christ follower, sharing your faith isn't optional. The early Christians understood that. Here's a persecuted people. Who knows how people in this new place are going to receive them as they go in, and yet they still shared Jesus with these people. I understand here today that this is a worrisome thing to many of us. Maybe you think of sharing Jesus with a friend or a colleague, and you start to just get the sweats. You just start to worry, and your stomach ties up in knots, and you say, I couldn't possibly do this. I understand that. I understand how difficult it can seem. But I want to challenge you. How do you think these Christians felt in Antioch, of all places? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of them were going into the situation going, oh, Lord, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so what we see in this passage here, as they go and they begin to preach to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus, we read the power of the Lord was with them. And a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. See, sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also not something that you have to do alone. Sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also not something that you have to do alone. I think so often we think, you know what, Pastor Stephen, I know that I need to share my faith, but I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. I'm not wired that way. I don't have the ability. I'm afraid. But what we forget is that the Christian faith has always never been about what you can do. In fact, the Christian faith is about the very essence of what you cannot do. Humanity can't do a lot of things. God created this brilliant world and he put humankind in charge of it. And then what could humankind not do? They could not be faithful to God and they messed things up. And because of them, sin and death entered the world. Seemed like all hope had been lost. The relationship that humanity had had with God was torn apart. The life that we were connected to with our Creator was gone. People just kept on failing and failing and failing. We read about it in the Old Testament of the Bible as God creates the law for people. He's like, you just need to follow these commands. And then what is so much of the Bible filled with? These prophetic words about how much people are messing it up. Like, hey, you're incapable of following the law. Why are you messing up? Why are you just going after all these other gods? Why can't you just follow me? But you see, it's not like God ever thought that humanity was actually capable of bringing themselves back to him. He knew it. And that's why from the very beginning, he had a plan in motion that through Israel, God's son would come to the world. God's son would take on human flesh. And we're told in scripture that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, that Christ died for us. He died for you. Because of his great love for you. And we're told that God so loved the world that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, that's the big thing. He sent his son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God took what we could not do and God himself came and did it. And it's all been done in Jesus Christ. And now God has sent his Holy Spirit into us. So that as we go out as people who follow Jesus, we're not alone. It's not about what we can do. It never has been. We're saved by grace, by Jesus, by what he did. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, not because of how great we are, not because of how talented we are, but we're given what we need for the ministry that Jesus has for us. You see, sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also not something you have to do alone. Because of Jesus, you can tell others about him in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. You never will be. You never have been. And you never have to do it on your own. See, I truly believe here, a mantra that we have that I say over and over again is that we are called to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered believers in Jesus. Because when we live our lives in this way, it's not up to us and our own strength and our own ability to make a difference in the world. We just have to play our part and go faithfully out into what God has for us. Because of Jesus, you can tell others about him with the power of the Holy Spirit, because sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also not something that you ever have to do alone. And yet I want to tell you that you're going to fail every day. You're going to fail every day because you're human. And so there's going to be times and you're going to go out and you're going to go out without the power of the Spirit, or you're going to resist the Holy Spirit. Or there's even going to be times where the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, you know what, go talk to that person. Go share your faith with that person. Now's the time, and you go and you do it, and you're faithful to what the Holy Spirit has told you to do, and it seems like nothing happens. Maybe you even go and you obey the Holy Spirit, and you go to that person, and they're like, I don't have time to talk right now, and they walk away. But I want you to know that it's about the obedience that you have to the Holy Spirit more so than what you see happening. Because as you're obedient to what the Holy Spirit has called you to do, you grow as a person. But not only that, but the Holy Spirit continues to do the work before and after you're in the situation. And so as we're faithful and we go in the Spirit's power to go and share the good news of Jesus, what he has done, the hope that people can have, the life that people can have, the fact that they can be adopted as children of God, that through Jesus Christ, the things that they were held down to before are no longer things that hold them captive. The things that they wrap their identity up in are no longer the things that their identity has to be wrapped up in, but instead their identity is reformed around who Jesus Christ has made them to be and who Jesus Christ is. And so they find freedom, and they find peace, and they find hope, and they find life, because Jesus changes everything in their situation, and there's nothing too great for God. Sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also something that you never have to do alone. It was interesting the other day, I was coming out of the Tim Hortons, and there's a lady there that I have talked to on a few occasions and just asked her if I can pray for her and that kind of thing. I saw her taking her coffee break, and I was in my vehicle and I'm driving away, and I felt the Holy Spirit kind of impressing on my heart, no, you need to go over to her and you just need to talk to her and let her know that Jesus loves her. And I was like, God, that's really weird. She's on her coffee break. She's obviously enjoying herself. The last thing she needs is some guy that's wearing red pants. So I was wearing red pants that day. And to come over and be like, hey, Jesus loves you. And so as I started to drive away, I was like, no, I need to do this. So I ended up being that guy, you know, the guy that pulls out of the parking lot and then turns around and goes back into the parking lot and parks. I got out of my car. I walked back around the building and I came over and I'm like awkwardly like, hi. She said hi, and we talked about the weather for a little bit, and I let her know that she could give me a call if she needed prayer or help or anything like that, and then I just let her know that Jesus loves you. And she said, oh yeah, I pray every day. And I was like, okay, well, I'm so glad for that. And then it got awkward, so I left. You know, it's not like there was any magical thing that happened in that moment. I didn't tell her that Jesus loved her, and all of a sudden tears came to her eyes and she fell on the ground and went like, oh my goodness, you don't know how much I've needed to hear that. You know, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and just this miraculous conversion taking place. All it was an awkward moment of obedience. And now I trust that the Holy Spirit is working in her life because of that moment of obedience. Friends, my hope for us is that 2 years from now, when any of us sits down with people from our community, that they will just express to us that they now know that Jesus is welcoming them, that he cares for them, and that he loves them because of what they've seen this congregation doing and the spiritual conversations that they've had for us. Imagine if 2 years down the road, when you are sitting down with someone and you're like, yeah, you know, I go to Abundant Springs Community Church, they go, wow, you're like the third person that I've talked to from that church, and I can tell that you guys really love Jesus. What would it be like if all of a sudden that began to be the sense that people had of people coming from our church or the churches all around this community? Because my hope isn't just for this church. My hope is for all the churches in Pincher Creek to be making an impact on this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing your faith isn't optional, but it's also not something you have to do alone. Fact of the matter is, we're likely still going to be afraid when we go to talk to people, especially when it's because the Holy Spirit has told us, hey, go do this really weird, awkward thing right now. But we have to allow the fear, we have to allow the anxiety, we have to allow the butterflies in our stomachs or our minds whirling with, I don't even know what to say, I don't know how to do this, this is going to be so awkward. We just need to allow it all to push us into a place where we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, people were preaching to the Jews only, but then suddenly a group of them was like, we're in Antioch and we're going to preach to the Gentiles too. And as they did that, as they were obedient to the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of those Gentiles believed, and they began to change, and they began to live for Jesus Christ, and the church of Antioch was born. And so here today, I have a challenge for you, something that I hope that you'll do. And for some of you, it's going to be scary. For some of you, it's going to be hard. But here's some action steps for this week. Number one, I want you to repent, all of us, repent of our disobedience. You might say, I'm perfect, Pastor Stephen. Well, you're a sinner then, and you're lying. Repent of our disobedience. Repent of those times that you felt the Holy Spirit being like, do this, and you've gone, that couldn't possibly be him. God wouldn't put me out like that. Because he does. Secondly, ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us. Because we can't do this alone. If we're doing it ourselves, we're going to fail. We'll go without power. We'll go without ability. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us. And here's the third thing. I want us to pray the witness's prayer each morning. This is when you all say, what is the witness's prayer, Pastor Stephen? Let me share it with you. This is from a book called Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out by Alvin Reed. Each morning, pray this: God, give me an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Every morning, God, give me an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. If you've got a pen and a paper with you, I'd encourage you to write that down or snap a picture of that right there, because I am serious when I say that. You know, I don't give you these action steps just as a nice thing to make it seem like I've done my homework and you guys can all go home and feel good about yourselves. I give these to you because they're action steps. Action means that they are in motion. Something is done about them. And so I truly hope that you will repent of your disobedience, that all of us will, that we'll repent of our disobedience towards God, that we'll ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and lead us and empower us, and that we'll pray this prayer: God, give me today an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. And that we'll go forth and we will make a difference in the kingdom of God. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share from Scripture today. I thank you for the fact that you don't play favorites, that you love this world, that you came to this world for us to set us free. And today, Lord Jesus, will you just embolden us and empower us to go out and begin to tell people the truth, to tell people what it is that you've done for us. So Lord, right here in this place, begin to do a work in our hearts, Lord God.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.